Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a blessing to be here with you this weekend, and I'm looking forward to Wednesday night as well with the youth group. It's always fun to kind of go back to my roots and have some fun with teenagers. So, and I also want to thank you for collecting food for the End Hunger Cafe during this past weekend. It's a small ministry out of the Latrobe area where we serve an evening meal three times a week to folks that are desperately in need of having at least one good meal a day. And your help is great because it's all donation and volunteer-based. So I just want to thank you for putting some hands and feet to missions for here, local, for a local soup kitchen. As I told the 8:30 crowd, I didn't have to open up the little booklet this time around, but on your booklet, I opened that up at 8:30, and nothing like seeing a picture of your face there, and you open up the little friendship pad to pass. I'm like, oh, I didn't expect to see me when I opened up. But if you've noticed, when you pass that down, it also has a little map of Macedonia in it, so you can have an idea of where I'm coming from. As Pastor Bob said, it is in the little country in the middle of Europe. So you know it's not deep in the African jungle. And it's not a country where the government forbids missionaries or Christianity, yet still in this Balkan country that's only slightly bigger than the state of Vermont, it has a population of about 2 million, and yet only less than 1%, closer to 0.37% of these folks. Have a relationship with Jesus. But yet Macedonia is a country that is full of religion. If you're walking down the street and you ask someone what religion they are, the majority of the population will say, well, I'm a Christian. To be Macedonian is to be Orthodox. To be Orthodox is to follow the right religion, as definition says. And so therefore they find themselves and call themselves Christians. But these churches that are full of beautiful things, beautiful artwork, and more importantly, beautiful people, only hold tradition, mere acts of duty. You won't find Jesus, for the most part, inside these walls. You find an empty shell of religion. And so even as candles are lit, darkness looms, waiting for the light of Christ to push it back. Pushing back the darkness in Macedonia looks different than it does in many countries where the CMA serves. One of the main differences is the fact that there are no CMA churches, and Lord willing, never will be. And saying that in a CMA church always sounds a bit blasphemous, and most people say, well, why? You need CMA churches everywhere. Aren't you supposed to be church planting? And the answer is, yes, we are church planting. But in 1999, when we arrived on the scene in Macedonia, some of our first CMA missionaries, they found the Evangelical Church of Macedonia wasn't close to this full back then, maybe 15 people meeting on a Sunday morning. But at that point in time, they made the strategic decision to partner with them. It was a church that we lined up with doctrinally, theologically, and it needed our help. And so this small, young church, an infant really, was just trying to find its way in this new country. Because if you don't know or you heard a little bit, Macedonia used to be part of Yugoslavia. And in 1989, when the Berlin Wall was cracked and the Iron Curtain was pulled back, the seven republics that made up Yugoslavia had to decide their own fates. And there were wars and genocides and just complete devastation in so much of the former republics of Yugoslavia. It was actually only Macedonia that claimed independence in 1991 without bloodshed. Christianity wasn't outlawed in Yugoslavia like it was in many other communist or socialist nations. It's one of the things that made Yugoslavia a little different. It's one of the reasons why the people actually loved Yugoslavia and loved being a socialist country and communist country. But it also wasn't looked on highly. The Christianity was not looked on highly, nor was it promoted during that time. So this small church, as it was making changes and coming coming to life, the light of Christ was very dim, and darkness grew heavy during that time. And so this church, trying to be the light of Christ, trying to shine brightly, found itself not only in an uphill battle, as any new church does, it was an uphill battle in darkness. And so when the CMA arrived there in 1999, as I said, and began its international ministries, we spent many, many hours over coffee and meals with the pastors, the national leaders and pastors, because the folks that arrived first on the scene quickly learned that close to nothing, or I really feel like I can say nothing in Macedonia happens without relationship. It's all about who you know. They even have their own word for it, vrska, and it's all about the vrska. That's what gets you into places. That's what gets you jobs. That's what gets you your visa paperwork in and out of the office faster, as we found out, and things like that. So it was all about who you knew and all about relationships. And so the first missionaries there on the scene did an amazing job building relationships with these national guys. Some of them had had the opportunity to go to school in Croatia, but many of them had no hands-on experience. Book knowledge goes so far, but then you're in the middle of running a church and you're getting phone calls and people coming with needs and concerns, and it can be overwhelming. And so our workers sat down and coached the national pastors in things like discipleship and visitation and just other areas of day-in, day-out work of a church. When the evangelical church was forming, there were still wars raging throughout most of the former Yugoslavia. And so there were great needs both in and out of the country. Because Macedonia was mostly peaceful, many refugees were trying to come in. And Macedonia was finding itself a bit overwhelmed. And so the church decided to begin an organization called Agape. It would be a practical aid organization. And so they began collecting food and donations. And as folks had need, they could come to the church and have those physical needs met. Of course, they were always invited back for a service, always invited back or, you know, offered visitation to their homes. And soon many had their spiritual needs met as well in finding Christ. It was also during these forming years of the church that the church would gather folks together, and they would go out into the different communities of Skopje and try to talk to folks and share the gospel and invite folks to church. And that's actually how one of our main pastors came to know Christ. His name is Nikola. This is his wife, Annette, as well with him. And I worked very closely with these two, and I asked Gale, that's his nickname, and I always end up calling him that, so I'll just tell you that now, and I'll use Gale for the rest of the time because I never get Nikola right. But I asked him to share with me his testimony and why he and his wife began Soulcraft City Church. And I would like to share with you his words and his testimony. He says, "My pursuit of God started at a very, very early age. I was 8 to 10 years old. And it started with the basic question of how this world came to be. While listening to a Darwinist explanation that tackled this question, I decided that it takes more faith to embrace atheism than to believe in God. The problem was I did not know who God was, and I just had this intuition that if God is God Almighty as I imagined him, he must find a way to reach me. This pursuit brought me in contact with a particular branch of Hinduism called Hare Krishna. I was 12 then, and I loved reading their books, started meditating, visiting their temple in Skopje. After a year of practicing Hare Krishna, I discovered that meditation as presented in this religion is indeed the perfect way of idling. Once I realized that I found nothing there, I quit and gave away my books. Then Christ found me and called me in my own neighborhood. One summer night in 1991, a group of youngsters shouted to us 20 kids, 'Jesus loves you.' And they invited us to the newly opened evangelical church. It was at this church that I heard the gospel for the first time. I tried to join in the singing, the songs these people were giving to God with such passion. I felt his presence, and I knew that I had arrived home. God was there, and I was glad I was there as well. This encounter with the living God changed my life completely, and it is now my turn to invite others to experience such a fullness of life. And this is why my wife Annette and myself started Soulcraft, a church which aims to reach the people of Skopje with the message of Jesus Christ. The reason why I started the church is simple. Both of us being from Skopje, having so many friends, a number of family members who live without Christ was more than enough. Primary and high school friends, university peers, neighbors, relatives, and family that we love are on their way to hell. A fact that breaks our heart, drives our plans, and ignites our desire to serve God as best we can. This burden became even heavier while we're pursuing our theological education in Canada, because this geographical distance and physical absence was a constant reminder of the possibility of us being eternally separated from those who won't get to know Christ. We prayed for 3 years and started Soulcraft City Church about 6 years ago. Since then, we are able to witness people coming to Christ, growing in His likeness, serving Him, and witnessing the good news. But we cannot stop, since there are still 800,000 people in Skopje who live and die without Christ. We hope that God will continue to grant us His favor and help us invite many more into His kingdom. After all of our efforts are useless unless deeply immersed in His mercy and done by His power. It was such a great blessing and privilege to serve and work along with someone like that. Someone who daily let Christ's light shine through him so brightly that others could not avoid the likeness of Christ in him. Soulcraft used to meet in the church building every Sunday night. That's how it started. Last September, it took a big step. It was a huge step of faith. It was a huge step of following God and what He desired. Because, you see, coming into a Protestant church in itself is a stumbling block for many, many Orthodox believers. Many won't come into the church because they still feel like it is a cult or a sect. And so Gale and his wife said, we have to do something else. People are missing coming to know Christ because of the church, because of the building itself. And so they made a huge step of faith by taking Soulcraft out into the city. And so from beginning in September of last year, Soulcraft meets at a public concert hall that's right in the center of Skopje. Nicola preaches with the best of them. He's just an amazing, amazing pastor and leader. Annette is a ridiculously talented worship leader and musician, and translates music and translates the words and transposes the music so that the Macedonians can sing praises to Christ as we do. And when I started to attend Soulcraft, there are nights that we were lucky to have 10 people there. There are nights that we were lucky to have maybe a little bit more than 10 denar in the offering place. That's a quarter, by the way. And now, to see where it is, I got an update from Gale last week or 2 weeks ago, and he is just so excited about where the church is going, and it just thrills my heart to see how God is continuing to work in this small church. There's probably 50-plus folks there on a regular basis now. Almost every single week since it has gone to the public concert hall, there has been a new person that has walked into the services and have been able to hear about how Jesus changes lives. One of the main things that I noticed when I was in Skopje and in Macedonia as a whole was that church was very much a come and sit and listen thing. And then I'll go home and go about my life, and I will come back, I'll come and I'll sit and I listen and I go home. And they took for granted everything that was there and everything about it. But when Soulcraft made the decision to go to the concert hall, that meant that they had to set up chairs every week. That meant they had to set up the instruments and the computer and the screen and the lights and do all of the things that make church happen. They had to take responsibility for that. And when Golly and I first talked about them moving Soulcraft someplace else, this was a great concern for us. Because I thought, they're going to end up doing all this work all the time. And that's a lot. But as they started to, as they started this move and they started to go about each and every week, soon the folks of Soulcraft came to Gale and said, we don't want you to ever touch a chair again. We don't want you to touch any of the instruments or microphones or the lights or the computer or anything. You just come and preach the word of God. You come and be the leader and teacher and preacher that we need. You share the vision and you take us there, and we will take care of the rest. That's an amazing, amazing step for these folks. Another huge thing that is happening within Soulcraft as well is, you see, no evangelical church in Macedonia is self-sustaining, self-supporting. They rely on outside funds to help pay the bills, to pay the utilities, to help pay for rent, to help pay any of the extra needs and costs of the church, running the church. And it was one more thing that I had talked to Gali about. I said, I would love to see Soulcraft be the first self-sustaining church in Macedonia. And we talked about that and we've prayed about it, and he was getting excited and shared that vision with the folks. And as of 2 weeks ago, they were paying 80% of their rent on a weekly basis. That's huge, because most people, if they have a job, unemployment rate is around 30% in Macedonia. And if they have a job, they might bring home $400 a month. Rent still $200 to $300. A gallon of milk costs $4. A gallon of gas is $8. During my 4 years there, I never quite figured out how they made ends meet. Nonetheless, gave to the church, even though we're supposed to, and God wants us to, but I never knew how they did it. And that's why typically it was a 10 denar, because that's all they had left. But now these folks have said, we need to give. We need to find a way to make this happen. And Gale says, he says, if things continue as they are now, at the pace they're going, by the end of the year, they'll be able to cover 100% of their rent. I mean, that's just one small step, but it's an amazing step for these people of Macedonia. And it just encourages my heart to see that continued growth and how God is continuing to use Gale and Annette in Soulcraft City Church. One of the other big things that Soulcraft is involved in is volunteering, and one of the main places that they volunteer is at a small orphanage called the 25th of May. They spend time there just doing improvements. They had a team from the States come over 2 weeks ago and help with some renovation projects and painting and some construction of some new things for the kids that live there. And this coming year, they desire to begin giving English classes, because they know that learning English and knowing English well is a step in the right direction to help these kids when they have to leave the orphanage when they're 18. Knowing English opens doors in a place like Macedonia. They're also trying to do one-on-one mentoring and also offering some sports clinics, because sports is huge, especially in the boys' lives in Macedonia. Gale, just this week, we were supposed to Skype, and I was all ready to have a good Skype conversation with him and all excited, and I sat down and gave him the Macedonian 20, as we call it. Time is a very loose concept in Macedonia, so you have to give everyone 20 minutes so they're on time. And so I thought, okay, 20 minutes has passed, but he's really busy and gets involved in things, so I gave him an hour. You know, that's kind of the friend thing to do, is you give an hour for someone as well. And never showed up online, and so I was a little concerned. I shot him an email and said, sorry, I missed you, concerned about what happened, can we try again? And he emailed me back and said, oh, I deeply apologize. He said, but I started a meeting at 3 and I thought it would be done by 5 and it just ended at 9:30. He's like, it took about 6.5 hours, but I was able to negotiate a trade. As I'm reading this, I was thinking, what? You know, because, well, it's football trade season. I was, you know, like, what? But it was football trade season, but soccer football instead of American football. Here, one of the kids from the orphanage, a 16-year-old boy named Dennis, has been playing soccer on one of the local soccer clubs. And Gale was able to negotiate a trade between his current club and the best club in Macedonia, where many of our national team players come from. And so, I just get so excited thinking about it, that this orphan had a chance at a life he never dreamed possible. Because someone like Gale, because somebody, something like Socrates, decided to invest in the lives of these children that have no parents, that have no family, that have no hope. And now this boy is going to play for the best team in the country. I'm waiting to see his name on the back of the jersey someday in the national team. And even more so, pray that he's around that throne of God with us in eternity, praising him because of the time that Gale and Soulcraft has spent in his orphanage. One of my big responsibilities with Soulcraft was leading a small group. We loved small groups, and it was kind of a new concept in Macedonia, but it works in Soulcraft because it's such a close community and they just love each other like I've never seen in a church. And so small groups were just a great thing, and this was part of my Friday night small group. Once again, time is just a loose thing, and so, you know, in America we have small groups, you know, they're just like, let's keep them about an hour, maybe 2 at the max, you know. We might start about 8 o'clock, and we were lucky if I was walking home by about 1 in the morning from small group. I would try to host it at my apartment as much as possible, so I was actually home when it ended at 1. But we just had a great time in fellowship and getting into God's Word together and praying together. And one gal in the small group, Svetlana, she was probably my best friend during my time in Macedonia, and we got to know each other during small groups, and she took a big step in her relationship with Christ during my time there. And she came to me one day and said, you know, I'm not a very humble person. I was thinking, really? No, humbleness is not a Macedonian quality. And so it takes a lot of work for many of the believers in Macedonia to work on this. But she's like, I'm not a very humble person, and I have a lot of work that I know God wants to do in my life. Will you help me? She said, I ordered this book that I thought would be really interesting. Will you go through it with me? And so we started to meet another night during the week and go through this book together. And I just saw her take great steps towards Christ during our time. And just as I was getting ready to come home last May, this huge opportunity presented itself for Svetlana. And I'm pretty sure this opportunity would not have happened a year or two before because she just wasn't where she needed to be. But now she was ready with God. And she was asked to become the director of the very first crisis pregnancy center in Macedonia. It's such a huge, huge need in society. And so now she is the director of Lydia, a Beating Heart. It's located in Štip, which is about an hour outside of Skopje. And it's just an amazing opportunity because right now the birth to abortion rate in Macedonia is almost 1-to-1. And many women choose to end their pregnancies because they just don't have enough money to support another child. And so the center wants to offer pregnancy tests counseling, prenatal vitamins, maternity clothes, other prenatal care. They want to offer baby clothes and diapers and formula and baby food to be able to help ease the financial responsibility so that maybe women can choose life instead. They come in and they find themselves unexpectedly expecting and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. And now, my friend, gets to be light in the darkness of their lives. Svetlana came to the States for a month of training at a pregnancy center out in Chicago, and she was able to come to Pittsburgh and stay with Steve and I in Latrobe for about a week before she headed back to Macedonia. It was great to see her and to reconnect. But what made it so sweet was how evident her heart was, how much God had been working in her life and preparing her to be the perfect person for this position, to be the perfect person for these women that are scared and they don't know what they're going to do next. That they're going to come in and see her and see the light of Christ. And I was just thrilled to see how much she was just taking on and just her vision and desire for what the clinic is going to become. They had a team come over from the States with some doctors, and they met with local doctors and explained what was going to happen here at the clinic. And so many of the local doctors are so excited that they're going to have a resource to send folks to that don't know what they're going to do. And she just has great plans, and I would ask that you would continue to pray for her and for Lydia, and just that supplies and finances can come in to help make all of this happen. And continue to pray for the local doctors that they would use Lydia as a resource to send folks to send women to that find themselves in a position that what they think is hopeless, and pray that they would find hope at Lydia. Pray that all of these needs can be met so that the community and the country can get help, get the help it needs, and that unborn children will have a chance at life. Another big part of my life in Macedonia was spent at the International Church of Skopje at ICS. It began just a few months before I arrived on the field in August of 2007. It's actually considered a daughter church of the Evangelical Church that I had talked about earlier. It's interesting because you don't think of a Macedonian church planting an international church, but that's what happened because until ICS was formed, all of the foreigners would go to the Macedonian church and go to the Macedonian services. And while this was great for the connections for everyone, the foreigners showed up on time, because we all wear watches, and would take up all the seats, and the Macedonians would get there 20 minutes late as usual, and there wouldn't be a place for them. And so many of them would go home. And they couldn't invite their friends because there might not be a spot for them. And then, nonetheless, they would have to sit through a translated service because many foreigners don't learn the language well enough to be able to function in a church setting. And so who wants to invite your friends to a translated service? I didn't even want to be there a lot of the times because they're twice as long. It was a great help at the beginning of language learning, but it gets a little mundane after a while having to listen to everything twice, especially when you know both languages. But anyway, so finally, the pastor of the Evangelical Church, Merce, came to a couple of CMA missionaries and said, "We love them, but would you please take the foreigners away?" So ICS was formed, and the International Church is such an amazing experience. And what makes international churches are just complex and unique, and one of the main reasons is that the congregation is never the same. you come to church and there might be one or two visitors, and that's fantastic, and you get to know them, and they choose to stay or they leave, but when they choose to stay, they're typically here maybe for the rest of their lives. And you probably grew up with some of these people, and you know everybody. But in the international church, folks come for a week or two or a month or maybe a year, maybe two at the most a lot of times. And so the congregation's always changing. There are always new faces, and there are always somebody that seemed like we were praying for to send them back home or send them to their next post every single week. Especially during the summer months, it was amazing, all the transitions in and out of the church. One pastor of an international church said that pastoring an international church was like shepherding fish in a slow-moving stream. It's just this constant passing by of people. We used to say that our front door was as big as our back door because it was just a constant flow of folks. But what made ICS an amazing community is that nobody cared. If you were there for a week or 2 years, you still became friends with somebody. There is this welcoming atmosphere and this great sense of community, of this common bond in Christ that just united the folks, and just it was just an amazing, amazing thing. During my 4 years there, we had over 300 people come in and out of the doors of ICS. But friendships were still formed, and these people were a step closer to Christ in their relationships and walks with Him wherever they ended up next, because they never knew if the next place, the next post that they would go to, they would find a place to worship. We functioned in English, and most diplomats and international workers all know English and can function in English, and so we had up to 20 different nationalities represented in the seats of ICS during my 4 years there, and we had at least 15 different denominations and backgrounds sitting in the seats. Anything from Catholic to Pentecostal and Anglican to Charismatic all filled the seats of ICS. It was truly a picture of how big the table of Christ is, and just kind of a little taste of heaven to be surrounded in that type of environment. At ICS, I was part of the leadership team. I oversaw small groups and assimilation. I was part of the preaching team and preached at least once a month. And I wanted to share with you about ICS because of this guy right here. His name is Saleh, and he actually began, well, I got to meet Saleh the first time in Soulcraft. And he threw me for a loop because it was like my first week there, and I knew, this is my language I knew, Zdravo, kakosi. That's hello, how are you? And they would respond with dobro or super, and they would say kakosi back, and I would say dobro or super, and that was my Macedonian. Done. So I meet Saleh, and I shake his hand, which you always shake your hands. I'm a good handshaker now, and he says, Zdravo kakosi, and I said, dobro kakosi, and he says, oh, sumto. And I'm like, I don't know that one, you know? So I wrote it down and went to my language teacher the next day and said, what did he say to me? I don't know. And he actually said, I'm a gun, and that means, like, I'm strong, I'm doing really good, I'm, you know. But I could always count on Saleh for a good language lesson, but also just to be so full of life. And he shared with me his story one day and about music. He loves music, and he started playing the clarinet when he was like six, and then went to the trumpet and then the violin and then the guitar, and was working on the piano and plays the accordion as well, and all these things. And he played in the worship team at Soulcraft, and Annette Gale's husband really took him under her belt, her wing, and mentored him and taught him how to lead worship. And he's now the worship leader at the International Church. We had a great need. We thought, oh, we'll just bring somebody over from America because that's the easy thing to do. And then someone said, what about Saleh? He's ready for this. And so now he's our worship leader, and it's just amazing to see his growth. That all happened within the 4 years I was there. And it's just great and really cool to see how God works in his life. And so would you continue to pray for him as well? He loves music, would love to be a worship leader, continue on in that avenue, and learn how to record and do those types of things. His parents really want him to be an engineer, and so they're pushing him to go to college for that, and he's not overly thrilled about that, and so there's this tension. And just for guidance and knowledge and strength to do the right thing and to be the light of Christ for him. David Adderholt is the lead pastor of the ICS, and there's such a great need for an international church in Skopje, but it can be hard. And so would you pray for him for renewed vigor and enthusiasm in the ministry? Also, his brother is very sick right now, who lives in Thailand, and he's trying to visit as much as possible. His brother is not a believer, and it's just really hard on him and very much a strain. So I would appreciate your continued prayers for him as well. I don't think I mentioned any prayer requests for Annette and Gali, but you could be praying for them as well, for just strength and health that they need for continued ministry. And I've shared with you a lot of positive stories today. I hope that hearing these things has kind of opened your heart to Macedonia a little bit, and that you'll take these things that you've heard, take them home with you and pray for them throughout the week and the months to come. But they're still really dark there. And almost 2 million people still need to hear about Jesus Christ there. And so I'd ask you that you would just continue to pray overall for the country of Macedonia, and that you would continue to pray specifically for these men in this picture. They're the national pastors with the evangelical churches of Macedonia, along with some missionaries thrown in there. And these men just desperately need your prayers for health, for strength, for new ideas, for new initiatives, for new ways to reach out and to shine the light of Christ. This is one of the, I've never seen people be as bright when it comes to shining the light of Christ as I have with these men. But they need help, and your prayers to continue to be that way. The man in the middle with the black shirt and the white stripes down the side, he's the national church president and pastor of the church in Skopje. His name is Merce, and has some physical needs. He struggles with diabetes and high blood pressure, and I would ask that you would pray specifically for that as well. I would also ask that you would be in prayer for these folks. These are your CMA missionaries in Macedonia. This is Rob and Lisa Burns and their son and daughter, Johnny and Lydia. They were sent out from the Great Lakes District, and they are the only CMA missionaries right now in Macedonia. We are in desperate need of new workers, and for both short and long term. But they're also in need of your prayers for strength, for help. They made a big decision after language study. They lived in Skopje because it's the best place to learn the language. After language study, they made a huge decision to move to Kochani to help a pastor there. What's kind of interesting is that Kochani is Svetlana, the director of Lydia. That's her hometown. It's where she came to know Christ. And that pastor of the church has a huge vision to plant churches down the eastern rim of Macedonia, starting in Kochani and working on down through several towns. And so every week, at least Rob, if not both Rob and Lisa, when possible, go out and meet with folks in these small towns, trying to encourage them, praying with them, and also going around and sharing the gospel in their neighborhoods. They have a huge, just talking about it makes me tired, what all they're doing right now, and they need your prayers for health and for strength. The other thing that with this move to Kochani, there's no international school for their children anymore, and their kids are old enough that the language level in school is higher than where they are right now, and so they can't go to a national school right now. They would like to move in that direction someday, but need to get their language to where they can function well and succeed. So they made the decision to homeschool. Lisa had never homeschooled before, and so now she's homeschooling in a foreign country where you have to send away for all of your information and curriculum, and you don't have the things that they tell you to do and things like that. So just pray for Lisa and Rob both for wisdom, pray for the kids for patience and just respect for their parents as they move through all of this, and that the children would find love for Macedonia as well. And also, as I said, to pray for more workers. And that leads to the next thing I would ask you to pray for in general is for yourself and for others in this church and in this area, because you don't have to give your lifetime to go. That would be great. Don't get me wrong. If you're sitting here today and God is prompting your heart for full-time ministry and missions, go for it. But maybe you have a week to give or a month to give, or maybe you have a gap year between a senior in high school and college, or after college before you get a job. And would you consider going? Every little bit helps. There are great connections that can be made. 6 months to a year, you can really get into the nitty-gritty of ministry there. It's really fun to think about. So I would love to chat with you if missions is even a thought process in your heart and your mind. If in a month from now you realize you have an itch you can't scratch for missions, talk to your pastor. He can point you in directions and ways that you can get involved, or he can send you back to me and I can get you over to Macedonia in about a week. No, a little longer than that, but we'll work together on that. But the big thing, too, is that I know that Macedonia isn't the only dark place. I know there's other places in the world that desperately need to hear about Jesus. And if that's something that's on your heart, follow it and go after it. But I also know that Norwin and Irwin and Jeanette and the surrounding area, I know there's a lot of darkness here because not every seat is filled here. And until that can happen and all the other Protestant churches are maxed out to capacity on a regular basis, I know that there are people who desperately need to hear about Christ and how he can change their lives. I worked with one pastor who always said, "We're merely beggars telling another beggar where we found bread." We're here because Christ's light affected us through someone else, probably, be it our parents or friends, whoever it was that allowed Christ to work through their lives to get us to where we are today. Or we would be out there living in darkness like everyone else. So will you ask yourself today, where can I be light? Where can I be light? And the best way to be light to folks is to continue your own relationship with Christ, to be growing in Christ, and to be loving on people. As you know, the holidays are approaching. Somehow it's November already. And Thanksgiving and Christmas and all these big holidays are coming up, and that's a tough time of year for so many. They've lost folks. They've been discouraged. Maybe they don't have a job and they don't know how they're going to provide for their family to have even the smallest of Christmas. It's a tough time of year for so many. It's a great time for us to allow God to fan the flame of Christ in us to show love to others. To reach out. Because you never know that that kid that you buy a present for that isn't going to be able to get anything else, or that man you help buy a turkey to be able to feed his family a nice holiday meal. Just like Gale, who heard Jesus loves you and had an invitation to church, who's now one of our lead pastors. Small things can change lives for Christ. But it's up to us to allow Christ to use us. You know, the Holy Spirit does the work, but he still uses us, and I'm always amazed at that. I'm like, why did God choose to use us? Because we mess up, and we're imperfect, and we don't listen a lot of times. But he wants to use us. And so I'd ask you today, and as I ask myself today, where can I be light in the darkness of right here, right now? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you've done and how you've spoken and for how you have changed us, each one of us here. Lord, but let us not leave here today without listening to your voice in our lives and what you would have for us. Lord, would you have us pray daily for a country or a person? Would you have us go? Would you have us just give to help other people go? Would you have us just love on people so that we don't live in such a dark world? So that your light shines so brightly. Lord, I feel like there's so much darkness and just pinpoints of light around the world. And Lord, we want to change that. We want there to be so much light that darkness just can't even exist. Lord, help us, change us, and use us for your glory and for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.